Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Mattsplaining. On today's episode, I have an expert on who I'm very excited to speak with. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert in.
Hi, my name is Joey Rinaldi, and I am an expert in NBA trade rumors.
Fantastic. I have been a big proponent and big follower of NBA trade rumors for years. And I think that one of the things that really makes it easiest to understand NBA trade rumors or rumors of any kind as it relates to sports is thinking about the impact that the trade is going to have on the locality, because a lot of people think like, oh, it's about building a team or, you know, synergy with your players. But ultimately, it's about the incentives. Is this new player going to be able to sell trucks in our community? Are they more of a person who's going to be able to sell like plumbing supplies, those sorts of things? And I think that that's something a lot of people overlook, like the advertising potential of the players as they move around the country. And I think the easiest way to think about trades as it relates to the NBA is that there are aspects of building a team, but you have to build a team beyond the general, like, oh, you have five players, maybe six, some other people on the bench. And not everyone is going to be that legendary. You might have one legendary on your team, but you got to have those six role players, each one of them doing something that really helps out that team. So one of them might be able to take a lot of hits. One might be kind of the legendary. One might be really fast. In a lot of ways, it's like Pokemon. Like, you want to have a team that you have a poison type, you have a fire type, you have one that's like a fairy type that also is like really fast, that like can attack the dragons really effectively, and like the fighting types and what have you. And you also want to consider what other incentives you can bring in. So for instance, there's historically been a lot of rumors about like Maytag and other like appliances as they have developed. I believe they own some stadiums. One of the things was they had developed when it first came out, the washer and dryer combo. And there's a big, big rush to get in contact with Maytag and see if they could throw those washer and dryer combos in as an incentive to get new players into the teams, because they're like, oh, that's such an amazing deal. Like, that would be so effective and so efficient for space
saving.
This is
very Will Ferrell, semi-pro, philanthropic territory you're getting yourself into, which I'll elaborate later.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, and more recent development that's similar is the Skittles mix machine. If you're familiar, Skittles, famous candy brand, they have a mix machine where you can mix various types of Skittles and it gives you like proportional Skittles. So you can get tropical Skittles, you can get the main flavors of Skittles, kind of like a team in a lot of ways. So you have your purple ones, you have your yellow ones, your green ones, your red ones, your orange ones, whatever. But then you can also mix in some of the like tropical flavors and everything like that, and into your own little bowl of Skittles. And teams have been chomping at the bit to get one of these machines in their stadiums. And every trade, I believe, this season has had some connection to some clause allowing these teams to put in one of these Skittles mix machines, setting aside some money from these trades, whether it's the signing agreement or what have you, to make sure that they get one of those machines, because it's just going to be a moneymaker. Even some of those skill position guys, they're great and they play great defense. They can get the rebounds, but do they put butts in seats? A Skittles remix machine definitely does. Also, in some of the Southwestern states, like the Suns and some of the California teams, there has been an exchange of churro recipes. This was very popular in the 1990s because they developed a special churro recipe that got very, very popular in Disneyland. And so they were like, well, let's get that into Phoenix. Let's get that into Denver. And basically, really what it comes down to is the NBA trade rumor dynamics is all about sweets. And people just want to have their sweet tooth satiated when they go to a basketball game. And that really drives the willingness and desire to trade the players. Now, based on what you've heard so far, how much of that would you say was accurate?
I feel like the judge in Billy Madison at the end of the movie, where he's like, nowhere in that rant did you come close to answering the question. I reward you no points, and God have mercy on your soul.
Okay,
so that's... it's almost like a zero. Like it's almost like a zero out of five stars. But okay. I'm gonna give you one star because you mentioned washing machines and dryer machines, and it is a great reference in Will Ferrell's Semi-Pro, which is okay. Hilarious parody movie about the ABA, which was a league like a semi-professional basketball league that the NBA ended up having merged with, I think, in the 70s, late 70s. I'm not sure, but that's where Dr. J and a lot of other amazing basketball players came from, like Rick Barry came from that era. But the point is, in that movie, Will Ferrell's team trades for, the silly guy in Cheers. He's in Zombieland. Why? What's that actor's name? Oh my God,
Woody Harrelson.
Thank you, Woody. They trade for Woody Harrelson, who's like an NBA player on the Celtics. And like the whole joke is that they traded him to the Celtics for a washing machine. And like in the first scene, he's like in the movie. The sports announcer's like, it was a tough call. I think the Tropic's gonna regret trading that washing machine. So
beautiful.
So in that weird full circle kind of moment, you had me for a second.
Okay.
But besides the washer machine, you could not have been more far off, unless you compare P3 players on low salary contracts
okay.
as suites. If you call them suites, then I guess the NBA has a sweet tooth for those type of players.
Okay.
So all right. maybe 1.5 stars, but you're definitely not getting 2 stars from me.
Okay, I'll take that. 1.5 stars.
The 1.5 is pushing. You're on the cusp. Like I you can't confidently walk around saying you got a 1.5.
Okay. So a 1.25. Fantastic. Tell me about NBA trade rumors and just like what about it and the history of it. I'm fascinated to learn more.
I am kind of embarrassed to even say that this is something I'm an expert in, because I spend so many hours a week researching what NBA gossip is saying. I listen to like 5 to 7 trade podcasts a week. Sometimes like if I'm really like feeling myself, I'll listen to like 10 or 11. There's so many trade basketball podcasts. I know all of them. There's so many blogs you can read. And then there's so many people like in the community I can just call up and rant at or hear them rant at me. I'm even in some weird forums on Facebook and stuff where like it's a lot of freaks who all they talk about is trade rumors. And nice. So I'm going to start by explaining the way I view trade rumors, then explain how I got into it, and then explain how it developed into where we are in 2024. So to start us off, NBA trade rumors, specifically NBA, is its own form of gossip, celebrity gossip, that has almost at this point nothing to do with actual like basketball sports fans. Like it's a lot of like really nerdy looking dudes who like, have you seen the movie Moneyball?
I have, yeah.
It's like a bunch of picture of like a nerd watched Moneyball and was like, I want to make this my whole identity and make it nerdier. That's like what NBA Great. Trades is like, because essentially there's 30 teams in the NBA and there's only 2 teams that go to the final every year. There's only 1 team that's in the championship that can win the championship. And even though lots of teams can make the playoffs, like right now there's 30 teams, but 8 teams can be in the playoffs. And there's also a preliminary round. A
preliminary.
Which is a play-in game where 2 extra teams can play the bottom 7th and 8th seeds of the playoffs, like who should be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So it's basically adding 2 more, 4 more teams in the playoffs. So now there's 30 teams total, and 20 teams get a chance to be in the playoffs. That means the chance of being in the playoffs is very high.
Right.
And this has made every team feel as if they should be a playoff team. So now every team is constantly trying to trade for something to put them in at least the 10th seed. And here's the funniest part. The 10th seed, even if it gets you in the playoffs, those teams typically lose immediately and then you never hear from them again. So like they spent all this time trying to get in there to not even get close to the championship. And then on top of that, if you're a bottom 10 team, you love being a bottom. Being a bottom 10 team is incredible because of the NBA draft. And the draft is the worst teams get a high pick. So they get the worst teams in the NBA get a high pick to pick the best new college recruits. So
right.
Now we're in this crazy world where the best teams are constantly trying to make trades to make their best team even better to be a championship team, where the middle teams are constantly making trades just to barely be in the playoffs, barely, but they want to be in it. And then at the bottom, this is the best part, Matt, that I don't think you're ready for.
Okay.
This is my favorite part of the whole bonanza we're in. The worst teams are now actively trying to trade their best players to make
Amazing.
Themselves worse to ensure that they are the worst teams. Like, there are teams that will, like, their fans will, like, go on Twitter and, like, complain. Like, it's the last two games of the season and they chose to win the last two games. What fucking idiots. If they just lost those last two games, we would have definitely had the best college recruit for the draft.
Like, oh yeah, they get an extra 10% chance of getting that
winning the
recruit.
NBA lottery.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now there's so many incentives to either be good or in the middle or bad right now, that every team is kind of happy. Like, there isn't like a such thing as like a sad NBA team anymore, because it's almost like we're in the world of participation trophies and the NBA is handing them out left and right now. This is creating so much parity within itself, where there's people I know who don't even watch basketball. They don't watch NBA games. They just want to be in the gossip of what the next trade's going to be. And even if it's not a trade, it could also be a free agent signing or a player getting cut from a team. So a team then picks up a guy who just got cut. It's called player movement. Mm-hmm. Everyone will tell you trades is the sexiest, most exciting. It's like the cream of the crop. But mm-hmm. any form of player movement or draft pick movement, because you can trade draft picks now.
Okay.
All of this is in the world of excitement. And it's like the way women watch The Bachelor, like the way people watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. It is its own reality TV show that is finding ways to build content 24/7. I have woken up in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. to take a piss, gone on mm-hmm. Twitter, and realized that while I was asleep, I missed so much crucial drama in the NBA.
And you have to catch up at that point too, I would imagine.
Oh my God, because yeah, I've woken friends up in the middle of the night and had friends waking me up in the middle of the night to be like, dude, get on Twitter. Shit is happening.
Yeah, something's happening with Chris Paul or whoever it might be.
Now all of this, I feel like I explained that very broad and I didn't make it so tangible for the listener. So now I'm going to bring it back to me. I'm going to make it personal, Matt. I'm going to explain how a young 9-year-old Joey Rinaldi in 2004, the summer of 2004, I may have just turned 9, when I'm sure it started before this, but this was the pinnacle moment for me where I was like, NBA trades is the best thing that could ever happen in the world. One of the most famous players of my lifetime, Shaquille O'Neal, who for all sense of purposes is a Laker in my mind at this time. I kind of heard he used to be in the Orlando Magic, but in my mind, he's like the Mr. Laker.
Yeah, he's a famous movie star.
Yeah, of course. Famous movie, the Shazam, the whole thing.
Absolutely.
But they trade Shaquille O'Neal to the Miami Heat for a bunch of nothing, just a bunch of nothing. And it was so exciting to me that, like, whoa, a trade happened. And, like, I get to see the Heat play the Los Angeles Lakers, where Shaq and Kobe can play each other. that excitement alone was like, I want to be around trades for the rest of my life. Around this time, LeBron James entered the league. Around this time, Vince Carter, the flashiest dunker in the NBA, gets traded to the New Jersey Nets. On top of that, Allen Iverson gets Chris Webber to join his team. There's all this famous NBA players movement happening simultaneously from 04 to 05. Mm-hmm. Around the year I got into sports. And that was like if weed's a gateway drug, I was getting my first hit of weed, and now I'm like a full-on heroin junkie who like I'm just like nothing's enough for me.
Right. So, you need that dopamine hit, and only finding out who Toronto is going after is going to get you that dopamine.
Bingo. And Matt, it's gotten so fucked up over the years, because since then, two men have entered the league. And this is how nerdy basketball is. The two men I'm about to name are not athletes. Two men have entered the league. One named Daryl Morey, who is like a business genius, who is like, I'm such a business genius, I'm going to join the NBA and just make trades happen. And Daryl Morey used to be the GM of the Houston Rockets, and he invented his own algorithm to make trades happen, and to his own algorithm of like what a good team needs. And it's all based on computer science. And so like, he's now making trades that like people would be like, why would this idiot make the trade? And he goes, because the algorithm said it's going to work, very much like Moneyball.
Right.
So we have Mr. Moneyball, Daryl Morey, coming in, who's just having trades happen like every week. And
that's
then on top,
crazy.
And Daryl Morey is having trades happen every week to be make his team good. And then Sam Hinkie, a fucking math nerd, comes in the league, joins the 76ers, and he's like, I'm going to make all the trades in the world to make us the worst team ever, because I have an algorithm saying that if we're the worst team for 5 seasons or 6 seasons, we'll get so many young college players that by 6 years in, we'll have like veteran stars all together. And so we have we have one guy trying to trade to get the best players, and another guy actively trying to trade for the worst players in basketball.
That is amazing. That is such an amazing dynamic. And it takes out such a, like the human factor of like, yeah, but for like 3 of those years, those people that you draft first overall or whatever, like they're just me constantly losing.
Like players have talked about, like it mentally fucked up a lot of players losing. And it also like fucked up like the Philadelphia economy slightly, because like nobody's going to the Sixers games. like no one's buying Sixer jerseys because there's no good players on the team. Wow. Like it had like a huge impact on the Philadelphia city. It's crazy. And then LeBron, in the midst of all of this, leaves Cleveland to go to Miami. And he directly ruins Cleveland's economy by going to Miami. Like there's consequences beyond basketball to these crazy trades.
Yeah,
like,
so absolutely. And it's much more than what car dealership they can get the sponsorship with. It's, will they tank the city economy if they move along?
Yeah, and they're crunching these algorithm numbers just so they can win a championship. And like literally, like there's someone right now crunching numbers to be like, if we make this trade right now in 2028, we could win a championship. Like no one's even thinking about this season except for LeBron James. And here we go. I love LeBron James, and this is where we are right now. And now we're, now can I catch you up to 2024? Yeah, are you following everything I'm saying? Am I moving too fast?
Oh no, you're moving right at the proper speed. I'm right on board with you.
All right. So now this is how obsessed the world is right now, and why I think everyone should be obsessed with trades. Like everyone should be in this NBA trade world. Like it confuses me when there's somebody who's alive right now who's not on Twitter constantly checking a Woj bomb. Tell me what a Woj bomb is.
I do not.
Adrian Wojnarowski.
Okay. Yes,
is an
yes.
ESPN. He works for ESPN, and his whole job is to do NBA alerts. Okay. His whole job is to alert ESPN about what's happening in basketball. And so whenever there's a trade, it's called a Woj bomb. because Woj will always be the first person to tweet the trade. And so whenever there's a trade, it's like, yo, do you see that new Woj bomb? Like, so like literally, right. I'm like a heroin addict on the street being like, yo, I need a new Woj bomb, baby. Give me the Woj bomb. I need it. Like, without the Woj bombs, I'm nothing. Like I'm only as good as my next Woj bomb, basically.
Okay.
And so in 2024, we're excited right now because we have the best player of all time, arguably LeBron James, who signs these like weird contracts, like these like 1 year deals. Where, so if you have a player on contract for like 5 years, the team doesn't have pressure to trade, to make trades, to make the team good. Cause they go, oh, we can relax. Cause we have our best players on the contract for a long time. So we can like slowly build. But LeBron makes it so he's like, if we don't win this season, I may leave. So that puts so much pressure. That puts, so every year his GM, his general manager is like, I got to do everything I can to make LeBron happy so he doesn't leave. And to make LeBron happy, you have to make a finals team. And to make a finals team, you sometimes have to trade all of your players. And what teams want in a trade, if you're trading a superstar, what you want in return is draft picks and young players. And it's so valuable. Having a draft pick or a young player is like having like GameStop stock at the beginning of that whole GameStop movement. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like, cause it could grow. You don't know how much it can grow, but it could grow. Like the potential is what you're trading, and potential is good. People love potential. So LeBron's like, I don't care. Trade all the draft picks, trade all the young players. I don't care if this guy's potentially going to be good in 5 years from now. I may retire next season. So you have to trade them now. Wow. And so LeBron is always doing this. So many times LeBron has gotten like half his teams traded in February. And the reason why I say February is because that's when the trade deadline happens. And the trade deadline, once the deadline passes, you can't trade until the season's over.
Oh, wow. So that puts a ton of pressure to like build that specific team that you need for the rest of the season.
So we're in January right now. So we're officially in trade season. The clock is ticking. And the second it hits like December, what it feels like, this is going to be a little crass. I feel like I'm on Pornhub just scouring the internet for the perfect porno. And I don't know about you, but like when I was like, I've had days in my life where I spent too long on Pornhub to find a video to jerk off to. And then when you finally like come, you're like, was it really worth spending that much time to find a video? Like, is this feeling even good? Like, that's how I feel the day after the trade deadline. Cause on the trade deadline, there's all these trades. I'm talking about this Woj bombs out the wazoo. Like Woj will post like on Twitter, like over 50 to 70 times, maybe even 100, honestly. Like he'll post so much on the trade deadline day. And I'm just getting these Woj bombs like all day. I'm like, yes, 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 yes. And then the deadline ends. And I'm like, now that these trades happen, like, do I even like care about these? Like, are these even good trades? Like, are these trades even going to mean? Like, sometimes the result of the trade isn't even fun. But right. The idea that the trade's happening is crazy to me. Like, it's just, and there's a lot of people out there who feel exactly how I feel.
Absolutely. It just sounds like a crazy rush for like a month and a half, and then just like a huge dopamine drop off once it ends.
And the irony is the ending of the season is the most exciting part of basketball wise, because now teams getting close to the playoffs, the play-in tournament's happening, then the playoffs are happening, then the semifinals are happening, then the conference finals are happening, then the finals are happening. And even though I love watching competitive basketball, I tune into the playoffs every year. I love the playoffs. But there is a part of me, I'm like, but there's no trades happening right now. And like, right. I'm a little sad during the playoffs. Like, the playoffs is why they make the trades. And like, they're all making trades so they could win a championship. And as I'm watching them win a championship, I'm like, but there's no Woj bomb right now. What? It's like a bittersweet moment.
Yeah, it doesn't give you everything that you might want with that. I can see that being difficult. Joey, this has been so, so informative, but unfortunately we're running out of time.
That was my spiel. So,
oh, fantastic.
If you have time left to ask me questions or if you have anything you want to address, but that was my spiel, baby. I hope was good.
Oh, that was so insightful. I wish we had more time to chat about it, but if people wanted to learn more about NBA trade rumors, NBA trades in general, or if they wanted to learn more about you, where would you recommend that they go?
Learning about me or trade rumors?
So let's start with where can they find you?
I'm the Joey Rinaldi on Instagram and TikTok. I deleted Twitter when they made X because I don't like X. But okay. But I still get the Woj bombs. Don't get me wrong. I know how to get the Woj bombs, even though I'm not on X. But the Joey Rinaldi everywhere. You have social media. You can find me.
Fantastic. And if people wanted to learn more about NBA trade rumors, where would you recommend that they go?
Okay. The rumors, my favorite sources right now are podcasts.
Okay.
So Bill Simmons, he has this podcast called the Bill Simmons Podcast, where he talks about all manner of things, like everything about sports, like talks about all everything. But if you follow him closely, he'll post like one basketball podcast a week, and some weeks he'll have like 2 to 3. Don't listen to his other podcasts. Like, only the ones about basketball tune into, because he's an insider who knows all about crazy basketball trades. Then you can listen to the Ringer group chat. And then there's another one called, what is the other one called? Oh, No Dunks. Okay. No Dunks. Shout out to No Dunks.
Fantastic.
Those are great places where all trade rumors are being discussed. And if you're a sicko psychopath, if you are a sicko psychopath, you can join the Ringer NBA Facebook group. And this is for people who have no lives like myself and just want to see weirdos post about NBA trade ideas every day.
Beautiful. Joey, I can't thank you enough. This has been so insightful, and I feel like I have learned so, so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Can I make a quick shout out? I just want to shout out my brother, Frank Rinaldi, wherever you are. He is my like guru to all of this. He's my older brother. He's the nerdiest fuck. Like, when I talked about the nerdy, like Bill James, Moneyball losers, he is like the nerdiest when it comes to this stuff. And he's such a sick, sick fucking guy when it comes to NBA trades. And wherever you are, I love you, because I know you're taking a shit right now, reading about some trade idea that you're going to tell me about next time I see you for a family holiday. So beautiful. Thank you for getting me in this weird, fucked up world.
Fantastic. Wonderful. My name is Matt Storrs, and this has been Mattsplaining. Quick shout out to Ryan Lawson, who made the theme music for Mattsplaining. He's part of Beat Blender Studios, which can be found at Beat Blender Studios on Instagram and TikTok. Or if you're in the market for some amazing music, you can contact him directly at beatblenderstudios@gmail.com.